This is a Hyphen Podcast production.
Are you not entertained?
Live from an undisclosed location in a basement in New York City, it's me, Crane, ruler, well, mayor of Dimension X and the producer of the hottest new pod in that dimension or this one, the Shredhead Pod, starring the Blasian Batty, aka Google Chrome Dome, aka Ado Nobu Hagen, aka my best friend, Oroku Saki, aka the Shredder. And we put aside our differences with the Ninja Turtles to be your weekly source of hot takes, sports and entertainment news. Stay all the way and hear who Saki has named as his Cretan of the Week, and find something valuable in the Shred Commendations. So we'll see you on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever your pods are cast. The Shredhead Pod is a member of the Hyphen Podcast Group.
Check two, check three. I think we're in business. I think we're good, y'all. What is up, show catchers? Welcome back to the number one comics review podcast in the world. I am EG, also known as Enigma, and I'm your host for the 75th episode of Catch the Show. 75 episodes. That's not including the almost 30 episodes I've been doing with my other show, The Underground Monster, which was a total of 105, 104 maybe right now. Jesus Christ, what have I been doing with my life? No. If you've been listening for all 75, all 104, about to be 105 episodes that I have done, thank you. Thank you. That's all I can say. Here's to more. Here's to more listeners. Here's to more episodes. Here's to improvements. That's one thing. Cause we're trying to get this show up. You know, we're trying. Like, there's been a lot of roadblocks, and to be completely honest, a lot of it has to do. Well, some of it, part of it has to do with the politics that's going on today. I'll just say that. I'll just leave it there, cause I don't want to get into that. Cause this isn't a political show. This is a music show. I have been talking about for a while that I've been wanting to upgrade the equipment here and improve the show, and that's why we've been doing the best concert series, which we are picking back up this week, this episode. We are jumping back into it. We do have a guest to share their story. So finally, we have someone back on the show to continue and pick up the best concert series. That's a little hint of what's to come. But yeah, as I moisturize my palate, yeah man, we are back. Welcome again, 75th episode of the show. Of course, I gotta make sure that you guys are following your boy on Twitter and Instagram at Catcher of Shows. At Catcher of Shows, that's my Twitter, and that's my Instagram. And once you do that, if you haven't already, make sure you're following the podcast fam I have. My podcast boss and podcast mama. Shout out to B-Hyphen and Melisette. And shout out to my podcast brothers and sisters over at It's Like a Podcast or whatever. Isla Powell or at We Should Do This Again Sometime. We Jump Off Radio. Browns in My Blood. Is that still going on? I can't even keep up with the damn shows we got. Shit. Hyphen Nation, Frightful Fret with Melisette, and of course on the Underground Monsters, the other one if you're not listening up, but at Hyphen Podcast Group on all the social media things where you can keep up with all our shows, along with www.hyphenpodcastgroup.com. It's a website that has all the shows laid out individually with their respective episodes. So yeah, no excuses on your part now, all right? Yeah, man, this episode, we are getting back into the swing of things. We do have a guest of the Hyphen Podcast Group fam that will be sharing their best concert memory, their best concert experience, or their favorite concert experience. They're going to be sharing for this episode, and that's going to be the heart of our episode this week, as normal, as we normally do for this best concert series. But we are still doing the catch up, man, especially off the heels of the No Limit Chronicles that just recently ended on BT. They're now doing the Rough Rider Chronicles. That may be something to do for another catch up run. I don't know. I think we need to jump off rap for a little bit. We've been doing two rap entities for the catch up, for the last couple catch ups. We started doing Kiss, you know, but so I had to jump back into the rock world. I mean, but I feel like I've been listening to so much rock this year. It's like, what have I not listened to? But we'll figure that out. We'll figure it out though. But yeah, man, we're jumping back into the catch up this week, continuing our saga through No Limit Records. Infamous No Limit Records and their 1998 run of albums, a slew of 23 albums they put out, and we are now at album let me take a quick look. I know what album we're on, but what number is it in the list of records they dropped in 1998? Let's see, 1998, No Limit Records, we are at album, we're only 8 albums in out of the 23 albums they dropped. Now, I do know that we won't be able to cover all these, because not all these records are on streaming platforms, but that was the case for Fiend. There's one in every family, which is why we kind of paused with the catch up. Then I stumbled upon it while I was watching the No Limit Chronicles on BET, which, if you haven't checked that out, if you see it, stop what you're doing, watch it. It's actually pretty good. But yeah, I found it popped back up on streaming, and I took advantage of it, man, and listened to it, and that's how we jumped back on it with the episode. What was it, last week? Yeah, we skipped it in the process of things. It's Soulja Slim's Give It To Him Raw, but yeah, Master P, MP The Last Don, we're gonna get into that in a minute. But first thing I want to talk about, though, you guys have to please listen, pay attention. So I mentioned Melisette. If you're not, for some odd reason or whatever, listening to the homie Melisette and her podcast, A Frightful Fret with Melisette, you know, I don't know what to tell you other than you are messing up. She's been covering Frankenstein, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, doing readings chapter by chapter each episode. I love listening to it, especially at night. Oh, it's soothing. soothing sounds of Melisette. And sometimes guests, some of the Hyphen Podcast group guests. But I'm going to have to pop up on there and maybe read y'all a chapter or two. It's up to her. It's her show. But yeah, I had Melisette on the first episode we did. I started doing the Best Concert Series. She told her story about seeing Prince, which I'm still envious of. But me and Melissa have been talking and about collaborating on a very special episode in the near future, where we will cover music conspiracy theories and urban legends. You know, I know a few are already popping up in your head, and there's a ton of them. I mean, that's honestly, I wouldn't doubt that there is a podcast itself based on that stuff. You know, but we're just gonna do an episode on it. And we're getting stuff together, but you know, we're still looking for recommendations. We're still looking for some to cover that it's just like, you gotta talk about this one. I mean, we pretty much got the basic ones. I don't know if we're gonna do your typical this artist is actually still alive kind of conspiracy, but we do have a good slew of ones, a good list of music conspiracy theories and urban legends that we are going to cover in said episode soon. But we want more, man. We want some more. We want to make sure we got the good ones. We have a few that have interested us, and we have a few that some people have suggested, but we want more. And I've been forgetting to talk about it on the shows, so I want to get out of there right now. So if you're listening right now and you are already know a music conspiracy theory or a long time urban legend in music that, you know, has always played your mind, or that you believe in, or that you just want to hear someone kind of talk about a little bit, that you kind of feel like kind of gets glossed over or ignored, make sure you hit me and Melisette up on Twitter or Instagram. She's at Melisette. That's Melisette. I had to think about it for a second. And I'm at Catcher of Shows. And it's the same thing for both of us on Twitter and Instagram. So yeah, hit us up there. And maybe put like hashtag conspiracy or hashtag urban legend. Make sure you're very clear though with what you're hitting us up with, because I mean, I get some spam and stuff. I'm pretty sure she gets some spam and stuff. She's a lovely lady, and I know how us fellas can be with lovely ladies on the internet. And you guys gotta behave. Seriously, behave, all right? But yeah, just hit us up there with your conspiracy theories and urban legends there. And while you're at it, I'm just gonna start throwing it out. Hit me up with any questions regardless of either shows, more so with the Underground Monster, because that's where I want to do it at, where I talk about Juggalo stuff and underground hip hop, and I'm starting to venture into underground like hardcore punk and metalcore and deathcore stuff like that. But you know, hit me up with any questions regarding music like that that you would like me to maybe eventually cover in an episode or so down the line. I'm thinking about doing that. I would like to do a Q&A type thing, maybe. I don't know if that many people are even listening to where they even care about my opinion or answer regarding something, but I would love it. It makes for good content, and I would love to talk about it. I love to talk about things, because that's what we do on podcasts. You talk about shit. So yeah, just whatever you want to ask me, you know, regarding music stuff. For the Underground Monster, more so, maybe this show too as well, depending on the questions. But yeah, just hit me up, either DM or just respond to a post about the show on Twitter or Instagram, once again at Catcher of Shows. But make sure you use the hashtag AskEG. That's AskEG, A-S-K, letter E, letter G, AskEG. That's what you do. Just do that. And you know, put your question there. Be respectful, you know. Try not to make it too political or anything, you know, too controversial. Though I might still, you know, talk about it because I'm a no-filter son of a bitch. But, yeah, we'll do that. And hopefully I will have enough to talk about in the show, you know, an episode down the line. But, yeah, so now that we've talked about those things, let's get into the catch-up, shall we? Yeah. Let's get into the catch-up. So, like I said, No Limit. No Limit Records. Infamous No Limit Records. Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana. Independent conglomerate hip-hop. Yeah. Home of the legendary Master P. Silk the Shocker. C-Murder. Mystical. Mia X. Fiend. Soulja Slim. And some of y'all didn't know Currency was also, Currency, the rapper, you know, he was also on No Limit at one point. And of course, Lil Romeo, we can't forget that. But yeah, 1998, I have to remind y'all, 1998, they dropped 23 albums. And they all did pretty damn well. Pretty damn well. And the album we are going to talk about for this episode is the seventh studio album by the man behind the brand, Master P himself. Is The Last Dawn, sometimes referred to as MP The Last Dawn, but it's The Last Dawn. This is the eighth album that came out by No Limit in 1998. I have to remind you, say it again. And yeah, man. Let's talk about some of the things regarding this record. Well, first, I want to touch a little bit on the No Limit Chronicles again on BET. Free C-Murder and Free Mac. That whole story regarding both of those dudes and just their imprisonment. Very, 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 very fucked up. So. Yeah, did not know that allegedly, because we still have to say that to some degree, I did not know allegedly that was the story behind their incarcerations. So yeah, it's funny, because recently this week, and I think that the show actually had something to do with that it was kind of Monica, who was at one time dating C-Murder, trying to get in touch with Kim Kardashian. And it seems like Kim Kardashian is kind of starting to get the ball rolling to help exonerate, I think that's the right word, C-Murder, for his charge and for his sentence, which I believe he should be free after, you know, after the details, after reading into the situation that landed him in jail. And hopefully, man, they can get the Mac too, because that Mac one even sounds even more fucked up. Which we'll get the Mac's album eventually. But yeah, man, Free Mac and Free C-Murder, that is some bullshit. And fuck everyone that was involved with the trial and everything regarding those dudes. Like, y'all know what y'all did. But we're talking about Master P, Last Dawn. Now, here's the thing with this record, all right? Aside from it debuting at number one on the Billboard Top 200, selling 496,000 copies in the first week. Damn. And it going certified four times platinum, with over 4 million copies sold. This is Master P's best-selling album of his career, The Last Dawn. I mean, I was going to say aside from that, and I was going to talk about how it was supposedly promoted as his last record before he would go into retirement. That's what they were promoting and marketing it as. But, of course, he did not. The following year, he dropped his 8th album, Only God Can Judge Me. And that would not even be his last record. Like, Master P Don't Stop. Come on now. Because he's a no limit soldier. Shout out to Master P. But yeah, man. So, you know, with that context and just all those accolades, holy shit, man. It kind of makes sense, you know, why this album is the way it is. I was not expecting this record to be a double album of almost 2 hours worth of music. Almost 2 hours worth of music. Really, like, over an hour and a half, to be specific, like an hour and 40 something minutes. Still fucking long. Because if you're familiar with Master P, before going into this record, you pretty much know what to expect. Like, there's not too many curveballs Master P is gonna drop on you. Which, by the way, this album dropped June 2nd, 1998. Summer record. Which I can definitely feel on that. But yeah, man. 2 discs. A total of, how many tracks are we looking at? It's a total of 29 tracks. Almost 30 tracks total. And I'm going to keep it brief because, look, like I said, there's not too much to really say with this record because, you know, if you've heard one Master P record, it's not that you've heard them all, but you know what to expect from the next one and the following one. I don't know if this is his best. I don't know if it's his best one. I think Ghetto D is his best one, in my opinion, so far of what I've heard. But there's definitely some really good tracks in here. Basically, the best tracks on here are the ones with the features, which is damn near all of them. but to get specific, the features with artists outside the No Limit camp. You know, like, I mean, the second track is Till We Dead and Gone with Bone Thugs and Harmony, which I'm a super duper Bone Thugs fan. As a matter of fact, that this week, when I wasn't listening to this record, I was bumping some Crazy Bone. Like, I just been lately on, you know, I've been on multiple kicks of different type of music, but one of the kicks I've been on this past week was definitely Crazy Bone solo material, because Crazy Bone is definitely one of the best members of Bone Thugs, specifically him and Busy. No diss to the other members, because Bone Thugs is a very influential, and I hate to say it because they have the credits and the legacy and the career to say definitely not underrated, but they kind of being treated underrated right now, which is really fucked. I don't get it, man. Like, they have hits, they have awards, accolades, they have crazy chart numbers. These dudes been around in the game for a long time. I mean, they popularized a style and a flow that, you know, a lot of people have mimicked and copied, including myself. We'll talk about Bone Thugs some other time. We will. But, you know, that was immediately my first favorite track off this album. Busy isn't on it. I don't think Busy's not on it. I think this was around the time when Busy was starting to come in and out of the group. Probably one of the first times he was out of the group. Which is a long ago. That's just the story of Bone Thugs. But, like, that track is good. Get Your Paper with E-40. That's definitely a standout. Definitely a standout. And aside from those, really, man, I mean, here's my favorites. Here's my favorites when it comes to No Limit, of the No Limit roster. Fiend, Snoop, Miax, and Mystical. And Mac. But I haven't heard too much of Mac. Mac has popped up here and there yet on some of the albums I've listened to so far. But you know, that's what I'm really looking forward to hearing, what his solo record sounds like, because he's very highly regarded of the No Limit roster for his lyrical ability. So, but yeah, those are the ones though that I, when they come on the track, I'm all ears. You know, and they level the track up, they take it up a notch. Especially Snoop, man, because I mean, just a testament to Snoop Dogg, his career, and just him as an artist, man. Like, to be a West Coast rapper in the 90s, a hugely influential and well-known figure in West Coast rap. Gangsta rap in the 90s, and then to jump over to the Southern equivalent of that at that time and just fit in so natural is a testament to Snoop Dogg. And I guess a testament to No Limit and just, you know, that crew over there. Because a track like Soldiers, Riders, and G's damn near shouldn't work. Talking about Master P, Mystical, Silk the Shocker, and Snoop Dogg. Sorry if y'all hear some music. Somebody is bumping down the street in their ride, in their whip. Because it's Friday night. But a track like Soldiers, Riders, and G's damn near shouldn't work with Master P's flow, where he's practically yelling at you. Or he just kind of, he's kind of rapping loud. Like, he's kind of can't hear the track that well. Not shitting on Master P, because I mean, Master P is a legend. He can rap. He can. Mystical, with just one of the most in-your-face styles. Silk the Shocker with one of the most off-kilter, flowless, or offbeat, original-type styles in the game. And then Snoop, with just, of course, the smoothest, most laid-back gangsta styles all on the same track, and it fucking works. That's my favorite track on this entire record, Soldiers, Riders, and G's, with them four on there. That is a really good track. These Streets Keep Me Rolling is also good as well. The last few, and this is just the first disc, this is just the first half of the album. The last few tracks, like War Wounds, where it's Fiend with Silk the Shocker, Mystical, Snoop, and Master P once again. But Fiend is on the track this time, and Fiend is just that rough, super aggressive, sound like he might bite you. he sounds like he might bite you. Style. Attack on the track, approach. It just, yeah, man. It's a very, that's another standout track, man. Like, those are the really good ones. When those five are on the track together, they make some magic for sure. But here's some tracks that are just a testament, man. Just a testament to Master P's versatility as a writer, at least. or at least just as an executive producer, I guess, he knows not to just be, you know, shooting, slanging, you know, typical rap shit. He has tracks like Black and White, which I think Black and White is the one where we hear an appearance by Lil Romeo. Lil Romeo's in the skit. I think that's the one. It's either Black and White or Dear Mr. President. But, you know, you have tracks like Black and White. You have tracks like Dear Mr. President. Mama Raised Me. You know, where, you know, P takes a break from that stuff and gets, you know, oh, and can't forget the last, well, not the, yeah, I guess the Last Dawn. You can say the Last Dawn's one as well. But, you know, where P takes a break from just your typical expected kind of gangster rap shit, you know, to get personal, maybe even socio-political to some, you know, to a little bit, you know. That's what you gotta really respect from Master P. And this is a guy who is the CEO, he's the boss, he's the don, the in charge of, you know, the brand, No Limit. So, I really respect that. Mac did his thing on Dear Mr. President as well. And then, of course, after all those songs, you have to end it with something like Let My Nine Get 'Em, which is a dope track, though. And then Diff 2. Again, same thing for Diff 2. Like, the tracks where you have a few, you get someone outside of the No Limit family. You know, like UGK on Ghetto Life is dope. C-Murder does his thing on Mortal Life. I mean, Snoop Dogg on this record, man. Snoop Dogg just does his fucking thing, man. I really, it's crazy. I never really thought about it until listening to it. Really underrated Snoop Dogg being a part of No Limit. Like, I think that was just really a blur for me back at that time. You know, and I was really young too. I think I was like in fucking first grade during this. So I mean, this was not something that I've always known about too much, but yeah, man, just Snoop does his thing. Snoop makes his tracks, makes the tracks that he's on come to life. Make Him Say Two Part Two is all right with Snoop on it again, but that's another one. Snoop does bring that alive a little bit. Hot Boys and Girls, that one's dope as well. Mia X, Silk the Shocker, Mystical, Cain and Abel. That's another one I'm looking forward to talking about their record on that one. Yeah, man. I like the first half. I think I like this two a little more. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I listened to this like maybe twice, both of them, with the second time being a run through because it's so long. That's the thing, man. They're so long that you just kind of run through it. Like, I mean, I had to break them up in days. I had to break up each part of the album in days. But just, yeah, whatever. I like it. I liked it, though. I do. I think it's pretty good. I think you can take a good chunk of records on this one and this too, and just make a really solid album. Not a double album, just a really solid Master P album. That would arguably be his best album. But in my opinion, it's To Blow It, which was an issue, it seemed to kind of be the issue at the time with No Limit, which I could not imagine being a super No Limit fan during this time, and you're just listening almost every month, sometimes twice a month, to almost 2 hour records by this label. But I mean, hey, some people did, man. Some people did for other labels as well, man. But yeah, shout out to Master P and No Limit for that. The Last Dawn. Definitely check it out if you haven't. And that's all I gotta say about that, man. So let's get into our guest this week for the Best Concert Series. So, for this week of the Best Concert Series, our guest, the person who will be providing us with their best concert experience, their favorite concert experience, is none other than one of HPG's own, of course, because that's who I got. That's who I put the call out for, man. Like Justice League, that's who I put the call out for. It is the host, well, one of the hosts of HPG's own It's Like a Podcast or whatever. That's literally the name of the show. If you don't know, abbreviation Isla Pal, which if you haven't checked it out, please check it out. It's a great show. Talk about many things, pop culture, blurred nerds, black nerd stuff, wrestling sometimes. They have a great episode where they went through like a bracket of black sitcoms that I love. It's great, great. But it is Handsome Bane, Eric Greenlee, best known as Handsome Bane. I think somehow also has some involvement with that Shredhead podcast, which I don't know how we got hold of that. But hopefully we don't get in trouble for that one. Check that out at your own risk as well. But yeah, man, Bane, Handsome Bane himself of Isla Pal, he sent in a little something to tell his tale of when he went to, I believe it was his first concert, if he says so. I don't know, but I'm just going to let him do the speaking of his story, tell his time, his best concert memory, his favorite concert experience. Enough blabber jaw. Now my blabber jaw, whatever the hell. Take it away, Bang.
What up, though, loved ones? It is I, your guy, Handsome Bane, compelling protagonist of Isla Power Claim. Just a shout out to EG for giving me this guest spot to jump on here with you guys who may have not ever heard my voice before. I am, of course, one of the hosts and the big daddy of It's Like a Podcast or whatever. That's literally the name of the podcast. It's called It's Like a Podcast or whatever. Maybe you've heard of Adam Pierce before. I don't know. I'm not about to sit up here and pretend like I know your life. But I was commissioned to talk about concert experiences. And while I could probably go on and on about the Prince concert that I attended with my wife, is the first and only time I saw him, or seeing the Revolution shortly after his passing, or even like really good Prince impersonators. We tend to do Prince related things all the time. I won't bore you with those because, you know, after Melisette saw him for $10, I can't top that. So I was thinking, could I tell you about the time I saw Avant before I knew who Avant was, and how he came out on the stage at Michigan State University with no shirt, mad baby oil, and like two arms full of roses, throwing them out to girls. He looked extremely corny. It was as corny as you would think, like mid-2000s. No. Might have been 2000 flat, so super corny because you can, you know, attach the year 2000 to it. No, I won't talk about that. I think I'll talk about the very first concert that I can remember attending. I was about 11 or 12. I was a child. I was a baby out here. And my mom used to work at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Yes, all this setup is necessary. I was somebody who ain't never had shit. And so when we got the opportunity to go see C.C. Pennington in concert live, we leapt all over it. And because my mom is so trill, and always has been, the first thing that she thought to do with it, and I'm from Detroit, if you couldn't pick that up, or if I didn't tell y'all, me saying what up though is kind of a dead giveaway. But I'm from Detroit, the Palace of Auburn Hills, where the Detroit Pistons won all of their championships. And I don't even know if that's a fact that I'm spouting. I would have to think about it for a minute. But, yeah, it was, so, you know, it was most famous for the Detroit Pistons and their winning ways there. And, of course, the darkest day in sports, the malice at the Palace that everybody else loves, but I hate. I was in the same building that Ben Wallace shoved Ron Artest to half court, and then all hell broke loose. Many, many years before that event took place, I, a young, handsome Bane, not even that handsome yet, and very much not Bane yet, I went there with my mom, my brother, and like mad kids from our neighborhood, because again, my mom was trill, is trill. And when she worked at the Palace, it was at least 45 minutes away from the city of Detroit, from Detroit proper. You know, it took a lot to get out there. It was like a, you know, it's a different area code, bro. So, it took a lot to get out there, every day for her. And tickets became available because, I don't know, people were fools and not trying to see CeCe Peniston in concert. And it was Joe Public. So you had the guys who sang, "You got to live and learn. You got to live and learn. You got to live and learn. You got to live and learn." Maybe I'll do a Mark Robb thing and add the song. Because he's really good at producing like that. Or, you know, I don't know. So we'll figure it out. I went to see CeCe Peniston. And at that point in time, I knew that she sang "Finally." It has happened to me right in front of my face. Maybe I'll splice that in too. I don't want to get you guys in too much trouble with, I don't know, with the FCC or somebody. I know they listen to All Hyphen Podcast Group. Productions, and so I don't want to get any of us in hot water by continuing to play snippets of songs. But yeah, so of course we made it there on time for "Live and Learn" by Joe Public, and it was fucking awesome, of course. And then CeCe came out and came out to the stage, and we were like off to the side, and maybe like the front, I want to say maybe we were about a quarter of the way to the stage, if that makes any sense. But we weren't too far, but we weren't exactly close enough to see like nostril. But man, listen, okay, talk about starstruck. I'm kind of a CeCe Peniston mark, bro. And it's probably because of this concert. She came out. First thing she performed was "Finally." You know what I mean? Balls. Because, you know, if it's the thing that everybody knows you for, you kind of want to hang on to that, right? But no. She was just like, "Listen, I'm singing Finally off rip. Y'all go get what y'all want off rip. And then I'm about to deliver the rest of this show, and y'all gonna love it because I'm CeCe Peniston, and I look like a million billion bucks, and I sing with my whole heart." And she did, and she was. I might have messed up my verbs. Whatever. She looked amazing. She is CeCe Peniston. She still looks good from last time I checked up on her, because sometimes I do just like to listen to We Got a Love Thing. I just really, really like that song. I love the feel of it because it's like that 90s house feel good. My mom is dropping me off at school and the whole car smells like her coffee. Such a such a ballsy performance to come up and just perform Finally. Like, and I mean, think about it, like, sing a song called Finally first. Like, the balls on that kid. And then she did, I do believe, no, what was it? You Gotta Show Me Love. I don't think it was out just yet. I think that might have been another album. But still, just that electronic, that thumping, you know, We Gotta Love thing is like a little lighter, you know, but it still is like that, you know, I could just dance to this, or I can do Molly in the bathroom and OD. Like, it's a very versatile joint. And so she sang that. You can just wait. Let me get my phone out, because I could just be conflating with, you know, memory. And maybe I should have did all this before I started recording, but fuck it, y'all gonna get it right here and now. Let me dig up the old Spotify and let me see what album all of these things were on before I start just making up shit. Keep On Walking was on there. Yes, this is the album where she has the I'm not gonna play it, but yeah, these are all, hold on, fam. Yeah, this is the Finally album. Yeah, so it's the Finally album. We Gotta Love Thing is on there. Finally is on there. Lifeline Should Have Been You. Keep On Walking is on there. I See Love. You Went Out. Yeah, this was like, this was her first album. Oh, yeah, January 1st. It says it was released January 1st, 1992. I went the summer of 92, so I was, you know, I'm going to date myself here. I'm a million years old. I was 11 at the time. I was a huge mark for her and Bret Hart at the point in time. Bret Hart was in his, yeah, so I hear this album, I'm thinking Green Tingleberry Now and Laters. I'm thinking neon colors, the Bulls' first championship run, which I hated, but it's fine. I'm from Detroit. I'm supposed to. It's in my DNA. Bret Hart's first title reign. So you hear all of that, and that, like, all these things came together along with my first live concert, just attending, and we were just on the side. Like I said, we had like mad area, so like there was so much space, like on the floor. Like, I guess, you know, back that in a less civilized place, you know, than the Palace of Auburn Hills, you would have room for, you know, a mosh pit or whatever, if you believe in that. We did not. We were just children from the hood who wanted to dance, and we did that. And there was so much space, and, you know, of course, we did all of the we did all of the kid and play, pretty much all the entire time, and whatever else, you know, whatever other little moves that kids do because you're kids. And I was probably the oldest one there, but everybody else, you know, was just kind of like jumping and just having a good old time, man. And that's kind of what's been dope about listening to this whole this series of everybody just kind of being able to talk about a time that they enjoyed live music and being able to commune with other people. And not necessarily like the technical aspect of everything, of like, you know, EG's a pro, he talks about this because he does this, but like for the rest of us, like guys like me who just kind of catch a show when we can, and to not talk about how things were done but how we felt, it's just really like fire, just kind of thinking about those, like in a time where we're all super, and I don't mean to make this all heavy, but in a time where we are all trying to find something to smile about, or you know, reminiscing on good times or whatever, that was a memory that I hadn't buried, but it was a memory that I just hadn't thought about for a long time. And maybe sometimes when I think about, you know, or I'll play, you know, We Got a Love Thing just because I want to feel like Elena's music from Street Fighter 3, Third Strike. I'll just, you know, I don't really bring that up, but now to have this kind of memory, and again, it's not nothing specific. We went to the Palace of Auburn Hills, and it was great. To just have that be on stash and just be able to call upon that, I'm thankful to EG and Catch the Show and the Hyphen Podcast Group for having me on to talk about it. Maybe next time I'll come on and talk about the time I almost fought a guy at a club show for what was that? Oh yeah, that was the Prince impersonator. So, you know, maybe I'll talk about that time. But you know. Thanks again for having me. Sorry this is super late. I'm sure you'll cut this however you want. I'll make sure that the background sound is alright and I'll try to amplify it a little bit, but alright man, peace. And so, with that said, that's all I really have. On our show, I Love How It's Like a Podcast or whatever, we like to end with a brief little message of affirmation. It's called Love, Trust, and Belief, which means I love you, I trust you, I believe in you. Peace.
Yes, yes, yes. Much appreciation and thank you so much, Mr. Handsome Bane, for coming through and sharing that awesome story, that awesome tale, man. See, that's what it's all about over here on Catch the Show on CTS, man. You know, we're best concert series. We're sharing our stories, sharing memorable times we've had in the live experience, man, in the live concert setting. That is what it is, man. That's something that brings us together. We all have at least one experience like that. And if we haven't, these are the tales, these are the stories that make us want to go out and experience those things when it's safe. Because right now it's not the best time, even though some people are trying to do concerts, but right now it's not the best time. But when it is, and you haven't popped your concert cherry yet, and hopefully these tales will, these stories, these experiences will make you want to do that. But shout out and much love and thanks and appreciation, all that good positive shit, to Mr. Handsome Bane of Isle of Pal, and to everyone over at the Isle of Pal crew, man. Make sure you go over and check out their show, man. Subscribe to it and whatnot. Make sure you are following them on social media. I believe Instagram and stuff is at Isle of Pal. I will have it in the show notes or the description of the episode for sure, for certain, so that you can, you know, get in touch. They do great work, great show, great content, man. Take my word for it. Not just because they're part of the HPG crew, but because they are part of the HPG crew. And we don't let lames in. All right. It's just how we work. It's just how we operate. Sorry. But yeah, man, and you know, definitely might want to hear some more about that. Sounds like Handsome Bane got into a little scuffle with a Prince impersonator. I don't know. Might want to clear the air on that. Definitely might want to come back and continue with that tale. But yeah, man, and you know, to anyone else with Isle of Pal crew or the HPG crew or even you, the listener, if you want to. You know, I'm, if you want to send in your tale and story and whatnot, man, definitely, you know, send that in over this way on my social medias, you know, at Catcher of Shows or at the Hyphen Podcast Group. Just let them know what's up, man. Let them know you want to tell your time, your concert experience, man. Do that thing. Just make sure you make it clear, because I get a lot of spam from people who try to do that, you know, follow and be like, hey, check out my YouTube or my page, and you know, you might like what you see. No, I'm not interested. I don't like that. I can already tell. I'm not into German polka. I'm sorry. It's just not my thing. But yeah, man, definitely do that, man. Shit, Joe Public and CCP Hiddleston. Both of them have like two of my favorite songs of all time. Yeah. And so on that note, I'm going to make sure you guys follow me at Catcher of Shows and stuff. Remember, if you want to send questions or whatnot, just make sure you respond to any of my posts on social media or DM with the hashtag AskEG. And make sure you are sending me and Melisette at Melisette on Twitter and Instagram your music conspiracy theories and urban legends that you want us to cover on the Future-Podcast Future-Podcast group future episode of Catch the Show, which is part of Hyphen-Podcast group. So on that note, alright, you just caught this show, and I will catch y'all next time. Peace. And fuck the normal theme. Cece, take us out. Finally. And love, trust, and believe. The show.
This has been a Hyphen Podcast production. Such good shit.